This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
To do this, though, Mike Schramm? Is that correct?
Schramm, yes.
Yeah. I've said it wrong probably every single time, except for right then and when you were on HT Tours with us.
Yes, that is correct. Yes, yeah. You have said it wrong just about every time.
Yeah, because am I the only one? Or please?
Oh, my gosh, no.
Oh, okay.
Oh, geez. Yeah, everybody says Schramm.
Schramm,
but
yeah, it's Schramm.
It's Schramm, yeah.
Schramm, and it's maybe a slight suggestion. Maybe if you did the two A's instead of two M's, maybe that would help.
There you go.
You know, yeah. I don't know. I'm just trying to help you out on the pronunciation. You know, I'm just kidding.
No, yeah, I know quite a few Schramms, or people will come up to me and ask me, "Hey, do you know Kevin Schramm?" Not a relation. I have no idea who. Nope.
Nope.
I'm a Schramm, not a Schramm. I don't know these Schramm people that you talk about.
Nope. So we are all about the experiences at Brightside Home Theater. And you were gracious enough to invite us into your home for HD Tours with R and I. And when we did that, you talked about upgrading your television. And we've been talking back and forth. And I'm like, oh, we got to get you back on because you have had... You've had quite the experience with this upgrade, one in the process of buying it. We could talk about that. And then you had a little snafu there, some stuff. Mm-hmm. We got lots to get to, Mike Schramm. But it's all fun, though, isn't it? I mean, you had a really good time doing this. And I can't wait to get to the part where... I mean, we're just going to geek out on scenes because I know that's what we're about. And you and I have already had a brief conversation about a bunch of different scenes, but we'll get to all that in a little bit. But man, where do you want to start? You want to just start at the beginning, how you shop for this and everything? Give everybody a background?
Yeah, I guess before we even start the story, I got to say that the new TV is replacing a first generation 4K Sony TV that did not have HDR. It was like fresh out of the gates. It would have been something that like an early adopter would have bought. And the only reason I got it on clearance at the end of that model year. It just so happened that I was TV shopping at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that it was a 4K TV. I didn't really do any research into it. I just saw that it was 4K. I was like, oh my gosh, and the price went, oh, I'm sorry, got it right away. It didn't have HDR. It was a fine TV, but it was 2014 model, I want to say. So what is it, 20? So 8 years. It's an 8-year-old TV. So going from that to the 77-inch OLED that I ended up getting, I got the Sony. Everything, literally everything that I watch on that television is a gigantic upgrade. It is just, it's night and day.
This is a huge case on resolution versus HDR and what we really are noticing the difference, because you went from 4K at what was the size of your old TV?
70.
So you went up 7 inches. But the resolution stayed the same, and you're just, this upgrade is really just getting HDR. And did you think it was going to be this big of a deal?
No. I set my expectations low in the hopes of not being disappointed. I was hoping for this miraculous upgrade that it turned out to be, but I was thinking it'll be 77 inches, or I'm sorry, it'll be 7 inches larger, and I'm sure the blacks are going to be great because it's an OLED and you know all that. I feel like the resolution looks better. I mean, the colors are brighter. The blacks are blacker. Yeah. The resolution looks better.
That's your everything. HDR. That's your contrast. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I know this has exceeded my expectations 100%.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've been thinking that I was getting close to an upgrade. So I started out last year checking out all the TV reviews and, you know, looking at all this, looking at the LG C1 and the LG G1 and all this stuff, just trying to do my research. And I'm not a big gamer. Mm. So the whole VRR and video game stuff, it's nice to have, but I'm not, not a deal breaker for me. And it seemed from all the stuff that I had read and all the stuff that I had seen that for movie watchers, the Sony gets the nod over the LG. Mm. Okay. So I had my eye on the Sony forever and I'm just waiting. And it dropped a little bit at Black Friday, but my wife said no. And, you know, it started to drop in April, May, when the new models started coming out. My wife was still dragging her feet, still saying no. And finally, it dropped down to $2,500. Mm. And I mean, I want to say it started at 35, maybe 39. I don't even know what it started at.
Yeah.
But it dropped to 25. And it took some convincing. I'm also a softball coach. So I told my wife, I said, hey,
this is a segue of all segues. I'm like, right. I'm also a softball coach. So I needed a new glove. I'm like, where is this going?
Here's where this is going. This is how I sold it to the wife. Hey, when the softball season is over in October, because it's a fall, it's technically a fall league, and I get my stipend, we can pay this TV off.
Oh, right, okay. Away. Okay.
And I like, we got 0% on this credit card. We can put it on this credit card now, pay the minimum payments at 0%, and then I get the softball stipend and boom, the TV's paid off. I said, it's $2,500. It's not going to get any lower than this. Like, we got to pull the trigger now,
right,
or it's
could go back up, year. Or they'll be gone.
Right, right. And so she finally conceded and she gave in. So yeah, I got it in the middle of June, and oh my God, it's
awesome. I know. I remember the first day you had it, and you, like, we were going over some scenes, and it was just you sending me screen grabs. You're like, oh my God, what is that?
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
great. It's
there were scenes. I thought the TV was defective at first. I was seeing things that I had never seen before. What is going on with
it? It's too good. Oh, take it back.
It's supposed to be there. It's supposed. I thought something was wrong. It's supposed to be there. I had no idea.
Oh, God.
So, yeah.
So
you told me the Matrix, for example.
Yeah.
There's code behind the code in the Matrix.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. It really is when you really get that true HDR and you start to flesh out everything that's on the screen. It's amazing that you don't know what you don't know, right? Like,
right.
You're fine with the last bit. It's not like, I mean, knowing what you know now, you're like, wow, I was missing so much. But
right,
but before that, if you can set your brain back to before that, you would have been like, this is fine. This is
absolutely.
You would have loved it. And let me ask you this. Had you ever been to somebody else's house that had an OLED or somebody that had a well-calibrated television where you could have experienced this beforehand? No.
No.
Okay.
The only OLEDs I had ever seen were at Best Buy or Costco or...
Right.
I've never been to somebody's house with an OLED.
Okay. So, all right. Because that makes a difference.
Oh, yeah.
That makes absolutely. It... Because you go to the store and you experience this stuff, or you do it in a demo room or something. Well, demo room's a little different than a store, because at least that's at least a little closer to what we can experience, and then you try to go home and see it. But yeah, looking at a TV at a Best Buy, even an OLED, you'd be like, well, that looks great, but how does that compare to my stuff that I watch, my content, right?
And right.
It's a little right. different, and you go home, even on your older 4K television with no HDR, you'd be like, well, that looked great. Star Wars, Matrix, that all looks great. I mean, what's the difference? Then you start to, you know,
Yeah.
And that's why it would be interesting to see if you, I wanted to know if you had, you know, if you had seen somebody else's house, because then if you see an OLED in the wild in action, right, in somebody's house, right, you might have seen like, oh, wait a minute, I don't see that at my house. And then maybe it's still a big, even when you get to your system and you upgrade it, I still feel like that trip from one house to the next, you'd be like, all right, mine's still pretty good. You lose a little bit of that, you know, but then mm-hmm. when you're at home in your theater, in your home with the new TV, and you're like, now you're putting more stuff in. Like you said, you're like, I thought it was defective. Like, it's like this, wait a minute. That's not supposed to look like, oh, it is. And it's quite the experience. It's quite the upgrade. It's pretty big. Do you remember what it was like going from SD to HD? How do you compare it to that?
I do. Shoot, that was so long ago.
I know.
I do remember going SD to HD. I would, maybe it's recency bias, I don't know, but I feel like this was a bigger jump. I feel like this was more of an impressive, oh my God, type experience than SD to HD.
It can be. I feel like the same. I feel the same way, to be honest with you, because there is a lot of recency there. But at the same time, here's why I think it potentially could be as big or not bigger right now. When HD came out, obviously you went to a different size screen. That was a big difference, right? So now all of a sudden getting, instead of your 4x3, you had that, wow, we get that panoramic view. Like that was a nice touch, but there wasn't a lot of HD content, especially for people that were like, fairly early adopter. But you didn't have a lot. So what you were doing is up converting a lot of SD, and you know, stretch it and getting it to fit on your screen. And when you did get HD, it was nice, but there wasn't a lot. But now you were in that unique position of, you had 4K television, you had 4K HDR content at the ready, and you'd been watching it and watching it. And now all you did is just add in that HDR, and you're like, you didn't even just go from HD to 4K HDR. You went from 4K just adding in HDR. And I think that's the most powerful thing in this story to me, is because we talk numbers all the time. And do we need 4K? Do we need 8K? Do we need this? Do we need that? And here you are going literally number to numbers are dead equal. But it's just that light output and how nicely it gets graded out. And that's what HDR does. And I think because you have that content at the ready, that's what makes it that much more of a thing. And if you want to start getting into some of that content and stuff.
I've been debating going back and forth on what the biggest wow factor for me was. And I honestly can't decide. I know Godzilla versus Kong. I put that in, and the Kong containment on Skull Island, the
opening
biodome
scene
that they have, that they keep Kong in. There's bugs and I guess dust and stuff just floating through the air. Yep. Never saw any of that stuff before. Obviously the colors pop like crazy and all that. That's
you don't have your other TV, right? So it's not like you can go back to it. Yeah. I think what would be interesting is you could go back, if you could actually A/B it, it's there. It just doesn't pop the same. You know what I mean? So it's not like you're watching it and if you went back to your other TV and you went, oh, now let me try to, it's just that all of a sudden that HDR just really gives you that immersion, that sense of 3D, a little bit of sense of 3D that makes you go, I don't remember seeing that. When if you went back to the other TV and you could literally just turn your head and look at it, be like, there it is. It's there. I don't know why I missed it, but you do, because it blends it a lot easier, you know?
That would be super interesting to do, to see if I, like you just said, to notice it on the old TV, because like you said, it just didn't pop. There's nothing special about it. I'm sure, like you said, I'm sure it was there, but there's nothing special, so yeah. I never noticed it. And, the Martian, Matt Damon, the Martian,
yeah.
The way the sun reflects off of his uniform, his spacesuit when he's outside working, like the reflection of the light and all that. Oh my gosh! The colors, the crispness, the colors. It is so detailed. Like, yeah, I it's just eye candy.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, it's the what I really enjoy is it's the vibrancy that pops out. And so you get, I got one coming up this week on Friday's podcast, a scene that I'm going to talk about. And it's really just about the HDR and the way things have, like, the way the spectrum pops. And I think that's something that was there in the past. But, like, what you're saying with Matt Damon's, like, the light bouncing off of it, it's like, you're getting more colors of the spectrum that they were there before, but you just didn't get that great brightness, like the contrast from dark to light as quickly. You know what I mean? So it didn't glow and it wasn't as vibrant as what you're seeing now. So you're getting that almost like, you know, that rainbow effect that you just didn't have before. And it's all of those little things and that honestly, those are the things that are missing in streaming from, because that stuff gets compressed out. Okay. And then you'll still get like, you'll get a nice bright scene compared to a dark scene. You'll get the bright light, but it's those little colors in the middle that might get compressed out from streaming to physical media. Whereas when you looked at them closely, if you just looked at them, AB, you'd be like, wow, streaming's getting really close. But then you get into the nitty gritty and go, yeah, but you see how you get that little rainbow effect here on the physical disc and you don't get it here? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that. Little things you don't notice, and that's why they get compressed out. But those are the things that really make it. It's the little tiny details that make it pop.
Yeah. I've been an audio guy for the longest time because I've had the Atmos set up. I've had all that stuff. And I mean, I've wanted a good quality picture, but it was never all that important to me because I knew once I got it home, you know, whatever. And for example, when the Batman came out on streaming, I streamed it right, knowing full well that it's not going to be very good quality, but the disc wasn't out yet. So right. I streamed the Batman and watched it a couple of times streaming, and no, it didn't look that great. And then on my old TV, when the disc came out and I watched it on the old TV, there was an improvement, but it wasn't like, it wasn't anything to get excited about. And now I put the Batman in on the OLED and it's like, okay, now I see why people were complaining about the stream. And now I see why this is so much better on the disc.
So, your TV was basically doing what streaming does. It was like you were just getting the HDR version, the non-HDR version, and you weren't missing anything going to streaming because you were still getting the colors. You're still getting
exactly,
you know, and now it's
right. No, just over the weekend, I went and saw Thor: Love and Thunder and which was awesome.
We could get into that. I loved it. I had a blast with it. And all right, let me ask you this, a quick little segue. Remember where you are. The entire time I'm watching these movies, were you sitting there now knowing that when this comes out on disc, you got like, oh, that's going to look so good. Oh my God, exactly. That's going to look so good. And it's like, like his uniform, his new uniform in the movie. It's so funny. My son and I both looked at each other and went, that looks so cool. And I go, that's going to look so good at home. My son goes, I don't know. I get home. My buddy John, spoilers for Friday, if we talk about it, he didn't like the new uniform, but he's a comic book guy and he didn't like his new uniform. And I'm like, I loved it. But a lot of what I loved about it was like the vibrancy and how it's all going to pop.
That was exactly where I was going with that. I used, like, when I saw the Batman months ago, my thought was, this is going to sound awesome at home.
Oh, yeah.
And this past weekend, when I watched Thor, my thought was, this is going to look awesome at home. Because it used to always be about the sound. And now it's about both, and it's just so much more fun now. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And it's, I mean, I've put the question out so many times, and I love the debate, which is more important. I still have to lean towards sound.
Agree.
But and that's the best part is when, oh, you need both. Well, no kidding. Otherwise it's either called radio or a photograph.
I'm like,
I know you need both for a movie, but if you could only choose, if you had to have higher quality, one or the other, I am going to choose. I don't want HDR and mono sound, but I've watched black and white with great surround. It look, you know what I mean? A black and white muted picture with great engagement that will pull you in and be like, oh my God, I've been in the dark with great surround sound and it's great.
Oh, sure.
One of was it Kill Bill when she's in the coffin? And the whole room goes dark.
I've never seen it.
Oh my God. I think it was Kill Bill. She gets trapped into a coffin. Like she's buried alive. Your whole theater is just pitch black. But you hear the scratch, your room is just like, it's terrifying.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh my God.
And it's, I mean, I'm pretty sure that was the movie. And that's all surround sound. There's no picture. You're just scared out of your mind. My wife and I were like, oh my God, this is crazy. But sound can do so much more because I think the reason is we rely so much on our sight. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything we do is based off of our sight. We put too much effort into or emphasis on our sight. And if you can heighten that audio effect and I think it really pulls you in even more and makes you see things you didn't know were there. Like literally makes you see things you didn't know were there. Like maybe, and I'm sure I would love to know if they did this, but I would guess if I was a sound designer, if something's going across the screen, imagine the director sends an image across the screen from left to right left to right. But then as your head watches that car or whatever, go to the right side of the screen, you get a pop on the left and it snaps your head back. You know what I mean? And that sound on the left side of the room, now that they've just sent your eyes this way, they're going to pop your head back in the other direction. That's how important all of that stuff is. And I love the debate and I love to continue it, but it's so much fun when we get these great, great pictures. And it really is a new age. Up until HDR, I really don't think this resolution thing, I don't really think it was that big of an upgrade compared to this HDR thing. And it's really good.
I completely agree. I remember a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about possibly just theorizing how 3D could come back in, and maybe if HDR gets upgraded enough that's how we bring 3D back. And Godzilla versus Kong, like we were saying a couple minutes ago, I totally see how if we just keep pushing the envelope and, you know, coming up with the tech to do that, I could see how that'd be possible because the HDR gives it that 3D appearance and it's so impressive.
It feels so close. It feels like, because I've seen some scenes like when John and I talked about RRR, there's and that's streaming, and there was some stuff in there, some jungle, like you feel like you're coming into the jungle. You feel like your screen is a window and you could reach in. I think where we get away from 3D a little bit is that the effect of, like, when you're watching a 3D movie, things come out of the screen, you know, and it gives you that 3D effect. But that's kind of fake. You know, we don't get that.
Right.
Even in real life, it's like I'm sitting here looking at stuff. It's all still away. It's not in my eye. It's not coming at me. So your life is kind of, I think 3D doesn't even look realistic. You know, it's like when you watch
it's
3D.
Gimmicky.
Yeah, it's, I love it. I love watching a 3D. It's a different experience. But when you watch 3D, I'm like, when in your life does it feel like that? It really doesn't. And I feel like HDR is getting closer to what we naturally see. And I think we're so close to it. So I have my fingers crossed that James Cameron's coming up with something big in December that's gonna every time I see those damn Avatar trailers, I'm like, this is the worst marketing ever. So I know they're just tricking us because
yeah,
he's never been one to just be like, oh, here's another movie. Yeah.
Yeah. It almost looks like they're just rehashing old scenes from the first Avatar.
I know.
And it's like, oh, what's the big deal about this?
Yeah. Okay. It's like he's James Cameron, not Kevin Smith. You know, it's not like he's, I mean, it's like, oh, hey, we got all the band back together. We're going to make another movie about the same thing. No, that's not what he does. He gets his band back together. He's very, you know, loyal like that. Like Bill Paxton was in like a crap load of like every movie he ever made. I think they were like friends or something. And he's always in it. So he always gets people back into his movies. But he's always advancing, pushing the envelope. You know, and I can't imagine this is just like that's not what he's about. That's not so
right.
Very excited for that. So what else?
I will say that with the TV, you brought up RRR.
Yeah.
Which I had never even heard of until your podcast on Friday. So I just started watching. Was that this morning? I can't. The day's running good. It was either last night or this morning. I just started watching that. But I'm only subscribed to Netflix on the lowest tier because my daughter likes one of the comedy sitcom things.
Oh, okay.
I've watched Stranger Things but I don't have the real high quality Netflix stream.
Right.
So I don't even know what resolution I'm getting, quite honestly. I know that there's a lot of compression. It's not a super clean image. And this makes me feel better. The TV is so nice that it shows literally what it's being given.
Yeah.
And if it's being given a compressed digital stream, it shows you that compressed. And so RRR kind of looks like garbage to me, but I'm assuming this because I'm paying for the lowest tier of Netflix. Yeah. So I'm guessing that if you give the TV a really good quality source, you're going to get a really good quality image. And if you give the TV a kind of crappy source, you're going to get a crappy image.
Yeah. Especially at that size, 77 inches, anything. It's, that's the thing is you start, blowing stuff up like that. And any of those little images. And like, if you're on a smaller television resolution, that's where your resolution is like, so I've said this on the podcast probably like a million times. In art, we learned a long time ago, especially when you go into graphic design and stuff, you always design your things like 10 times bigger than what is going to be produced. So like if you're doing an ad for a magazine page, right? It'll be like this giant board on a wall and you do all your stuff there. And then what happens is now we shrink it down and we put it in the magazine. Okay. So what happens is all those little blurbs and mistakes that you make, they all get shrunk down too. But the reverse, the reverse would happen, right? So like if you have these little artifacts on your television and I mean, 4,000 pixels across the screen is 4,000 pixels. Doesn't matter if it's, it doesn't matter if it's 55 inches or 155 inches. All that changes is the size of those pixels. Now those pixels are going to be even bigger the bigger you get, right? So now you're going to be able to see them better. And that's where you get into the problems. And 1080, your eye, your visual, you can't tell the difference. Anything below, now I've said this on the podcast before, and people are like, I think it's like 80 inches. I've always said 65 inches and below. I've had people tell me 70, 80 inches, whatever. Ballpark 65 inches and below, you literally can't tell the difference between 1080 and 4K. And then the next step up, I think 4K to 8K, you'd have to go to and be sitting like within 6 feet or something. You'd have to go like 4K, like 150 inches to be able to see the difference in the pixels, in the resolution.
Yeah.
The projector that I had before, when I used to calibrate my projector for like focusing it, it was a 1080p projector. I could walk up to the screen and I could see it'd be a completely white screen and I'd be adjusting the lens to get each pixel in focus. And you could see the outline of each pixel. It looked like a screen window, right? Looking through a screen, very, very fine lines. So you could see those. Those pixels were, I always wanted to take a, you can't take a picture of it, but you could see it with your eye, right? So I'm like, I wish I could take a picture and then show you how small those were. And that's at a 1080p. And now what you do is you take that one pixel and divide it into four, right? And you
put,
that's 4K. That's all 4K is. So now you've taken that one pixel and you've put a cross through it and you a plus sign. And now you have four pixels. I can't, when I try to do that on my 4K projector, same size screen, I can't see those pixels anymore. Even walking up to the screen, because now the pixels have gotten smaller and the little space between them has gotten smaller. So you can't see that line between them. And from where I sit, I mean, my picture is beautiful, but I don't even know if you can really tell that much of a difference. I'm 10 feet away, something like that. So I'm sure I could, my eye can see the difference 1080 to 4K, but 8K? I can't even see the pixel now. How the hell am I going to see an 8K from that?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Now take that square that I can't see, put another X in it. What are we talking about here? You can't see it. You visually can't even see it. It's like, it, like, see that ant down there? Well, right next to him, there's a whole family of ants, a tenth the size. I swear to God, they're there. No, you don't know. You can't see it. So, but this HDR, it's like we can all see light and we can see that gradation and we can see, you know, what that's, how vibrant things are. And getting to that, like that Matrix scene, that's the one that I wonder if on your other TV you couldn't see. It's because now there's enough light coming through to illuminate those, you know, that code that's going on behind it. I don't know if I saw it before, and I don't want to reset my TV back to what I, you know, shut the Lumigen on, blah, 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 and do all that. But it, there's so much more that you can see because of, it's hard to describe, but it's that, it just being able to output bright light next to dark, you know, to no light. And it's amazing. And it's so engrossing.
Oh yeah. That Matrix scene, I was wondering, because it's so subtle, it's so subtle in the first place, that having the LCD panel previously, was there so much blooming from the code that you can see that blooming from the code basically hid the code behind the, you know, it just made it too bright. And now that I got the OLED and there's no blooming whatsoever, that, because of that perfect black, now the code behind the code can start popping out because it's not getting washed out by the blooming of the LCD backlight. I thought maybe that could have been attributing to it too.
That definitely could. That blooming stuff is like, that's basically, that's kind of like what HDR is. It's like being, it's having that ability to shut down and not have it bloom past. It's like, we can give you a bright light. It, you know, any television display, whatever, can give you a bright and a dark, but how close and how fine is the gradation between the two? That's where you get into HDR, right? And being able to do that. And even that's where tone mapping comes in for, like, say, projectors and stuff. Like, if you have good tone mapping or Dolby Vision, where what it's going to do is it's going to tell you, all right, I got to set my brightness here. This is the max brightness that this image can do, because we all know, like, these are all produced at different nit levels, right? So, like, the brightest is in one movie is different than another movie, but I want this to be displayed at this and that. So that's where that tone mapping comes in. And now it's like, if you can take that and just compress it, like, okay, here's my brightest bright and my darkest dark, and we're going to put all the perfect gradations in between that. And that's tone mapping. So what an OLED's able to do is it's able to get to that bright and hit all those gradations in between. And that's why you don't get that blooming. That's why if it has to shut off, like on a line, bang, there you go. Get it.
Yeah.
So it's, but then there's natural blooming too. Right. Cause I have a, you know, you look at a light, you can't see things around the light. Light just doesn't shut off naturally to us. You know, like if there's a light bulb in your face, you can't see around the light bulb because it's blooming in your face. So some of that happens naturally. But what you want to happen is you want that to happen naturally, right? So you want to be able to put on the screen that light bulb and have that black in the background around it. But then that brightness of that light bulb, and that's where that HDR comes in. That's why I think we can get that 3D effect, because if the image on the television can actually give you, like, it's not blooming, but it's so, the light bulb is so bright that it looks like it's blooming just because that's what it would look like in real life. That's 3D. That's how you, I think that's how you could impersonate 3D.
I know what you mean, though. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, it, whereas your television before, it was blooming on its own. And then your eyes are also going to add a little bit because it's going to be bright. But if you could have a hard line on the television of here's the brightest bright from the light bulb, and then that black behind it is black. Now, when you look at it, if your television's calibrated appropriately, that's going to be really bright. But of course, it's going to bloom around it because you have this bright light coming at you. So that would give you that natural layers and could help. So who knows? But I think that's kind of what's going on now. So see how fine they can get this HDR.
Yeah. I also wonder if I'm pretty sure the new TV has a wider color spectrum than my old TV did.
Yep.
I understand that HDR is helping me see more colors. I mean, maybe it is dull HDR. I don't know. But I feel like the images are more colorful. Like the TV can just do it better.
Yeah.
My son popped in Thor the Dark World on Blu-ray last night. Because, you know, like I said, we saw Love and Thunder. So he's on a Thor kick right now. He popped in the Dark World. And even that the colors looked better. And it's just... Just Blu-ray, it's not HDR, or you know what I mean, it's not encoded for that way or anything like that. But the dark scenes were dark and detail, and the shadow detail was great, and the color popped, and I don't know.
That's the HDR, and that's the television's ability to have the brightest brights next to the darkest darks. And those brights now, what's really nice, especially in this case, where you know it's a HD source, not an HDR source, but you're still getting that benefit of that bright color, that bright light. Okay. Now imagine, I'm sure you've heard me say it before, but like everything's based on that grayscale, right? So like every scene you watch is a black and white scene with just the color overlay to it. Okay. So if that's why your grayscale and calibrating your television to grayscale perfect, as close to perfection as you can, and that's what so OLEDs are so good at doing, is that's going to make your colors just really pop, because what's happening is your foundation and that being that grayscale is going to be that bright light. And like we were saying about the light bulb, and then that dark black next to it, right? Now, if you want to add some color on top of that, say that light happens to be red, but in the middle of it, it's going to be a little bit brighter to make it look bright. So it's going to be whiter there, but then the reds are going to come around it. And now everything's just going to seem so much more vibrant, because you're going to have so much brighter light coming through that filter of red. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how that works. And that's why when you just go to that HDR, it's just really going to make all those colors pop. When you get into the spectrum and, you know, Rec 709 versus 2020, it's like now you're getting into the gradation of colors between colors. Okay. So like you'll have a color wheel. So we all know the color wheel, like, we did them, you know, when you were in school, you paint is red, yellow, blue, and then you know the colors in between, right? You got your orange, your purple, your green, and now there's secondary, there's colors off of that, and it lights the same thing, only it's red, yellow, and green. I'm sorry, red, blue, and green. Those are your three colors. Then you'll have secondary colors off that, and blah, 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 blah. So as you go through, the like 709 has less in between each one than 2020. Okay. So the rainbow's still there. It's just broken up into different. A rainbow is literally a circle. That's why, you know, it goes in a thing, you know, and a rainbow. You're only seeing half of it. But that spectrum is a circle. So that's why it's like, if you look at a color chart or something, the two ends meet. So you got to picture it like a globe, like it goes around. Yep. So they all connect. It's how many pieces of the pie are broken up. And that's what, right. So you get a finer gradation of color in between each color. So in actuality, we're going to get, I think we're actually there. It's like 709 to 2020, anything over that. It's like, now you're starting to get into natural blooming, like we were talking before. Like colors are just mixing anyways, because the way we see, the way light bounces off of things, and you see so much other stuff. So, we want to get it as fine as we can for detail's sake, because it's nicer. Just like we do in audio, we go above and below what we can hear, right? Yep. In both ends of the spectrum. So you want to do that. I think we want to do that with, you know, picture too. But then there's a point where it's like, okay, now we just gotta, you know, there's gotta be other things to work on, because we get too refined here.
Sounds very similar to the resolution you were just talking about.
Yes.
It all 4K is. Pixel and split it. And now you got, well, why? We can't even tell anyway.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And it all is. All of that's, everything like this is all broken up, especially with light, with picture, because everything we do is pixels. I hate to say it. It'd be interesting to think, like, we're so reliant on pixels. That's all we go by, because everything's digital, mm-hmm. right? You can't even imagine what else could we do for a screen, for an image. I think that's the only other way we could get something better than what we have, is that we'd have to get away from the digital realm and do it, something I can't think of. Somebody's going to invent something probably 100 years from now that'll be like organic and something like, I don't know. But right. You know what I mean? Like, because right now we break everything up digitally. So it's all pieces of pie. It's all like a bit here. And how fine can we make these bits? But we've made them so fine, we can't tell the difference between them anyway. So what's the difference? So we're stopping. Oh, we should stop, but...
Yeah.
That's what I like about it, though, too. I find it fascinating, and the idea of all of this, and like what you're going through is, I mean, you'll be sitting at dinner and be like, I haven't seen that movie. And then you're like, I gotta go put that one on. And it's, it really does renew your entire collection.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going through all my 4Ks, and like I said, when my son popped in the Thor Blu-ray, I was like, oh geez, I gotta go through the Blu-rays now too. I gotta check all this stuff out.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, when we were at Thor, over the weekend, my son leaned over to me. He leaned across my wife, because it was me, my wife, and then my son.
Yeah.
And he leans across my wife and says, Dad, you need to get a TV. You need to get a TV this big.
Oh, geez.
And my wife, without batting an eye, says, yeah, but his TV looks better than this. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yes, I sold her. We got it. We got it.
That was going to be my next question. Like, how did it go? Like, how does she feel about it? Like, is she more engaged? Does she want to watch more? Or is she, I mean, clearly she's sold on it. She thinks it's a good upgrade.
Yeah. She does want to watch more. We also, I love my wife. If I can just get her to experience this stuff, she's on board.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. She's just got experience, and then she's on board. But no, what is it called? It's on Apple TV. It's on Disney. It's on Disney Plus. It's some nature, National Geographic.
Oh, the prehistoric one?
No.
Not the prehistoric one.
No, they're talking about the Americas. I can't think of the name of it, but it's some nature thing on Disney.
Oh, those are usually like amazing for 4K.
Oh, yeah.
They're just like, yeah.
I popped that on for her to see, and she just kind of sat there and was like, oh my God, like, this is incredible. So she is way more on board with that now. And then two, we were just out. I think we went to one of the local pool stores that also sells home theater seats to buy stuff for our pool. And she sat down in home theater seats just to kill time.
Uh-oh.
And when she sat in them, she was like, oh, we need these now. Who am I to argue?
Yep.
So now we got seats coming. So I think I'm going to get her down there.
You're getting home theater seats for your multi-use room?
I am.
Look at you. I love it. It cracks me up. Like, I understand. Tom and Rob say it all the time. They say, don't get them, right? Because they're like,
yeah.
And I agree with them because they are a unique thing. And I mean, they say, you know, like, how often are you going to use them? But if you're going to use it, like, if you want that experience, then you have that, put them in. That's what you're going to have every single time. There's no laying down. But when I go down to watch a movie in my theater, and the more I've talked to people, and like yours being the multi-use theater, my buddy John, his is a living room theater. Yeah, you don't want to put them in a living room, but in a screening room like mine or like Steve George's, that's a screening room. You don't go in. I never go into my theater and lay down to watch something. I am sitting upright. I don't even recline. I won't recline. I don't recline when I go to the movies. And everybody around me.
Really?
No. I always sit upright and I pay attention because I want my, I've just always wanted my ears up so I can hear everything. I'm not there to relax. I'm there to watch, right? And that is relaxing to me. But I'm like, I'm there to pay attention, watch and listen for sounds and, and see the sights and do all that. It's I say like, oh, this part of the sights, the sounds. See, that is what I am. That's not a joke. It's like, that's what I've always done. And it's like, I'll go into my son and I will go into my theater to watch a movie. I'll sit in the center seat, the prime seat, and watch and he sits and he just puts his chair back and he lays all the way back, puts his arms behind his head, and he sits there and watches the movie. And I'm like, okay, nope. Hey, to each his own, right? That's fine.
Right.
I've let him sit in my seat and he does the same thing. And I'm like, well, screw you. You're not going to take advantage of the good seat and you're going to put your head back and be looking like this and everything. I'm like, no, I'm taking the if you're not going to utilize the prime seat, then I'm not going to give it up. So I just sit
there. Yeah.
Right? And he doesn't mind. His head's back and he's just watching he just watches the movie. He gets all the surround. I'll look at him and go, did you hear that? And he goes, oh yeah. And he goes, that was awesome. And he loves it. Not to the level I do. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm like, oh yeah, I watch the scenes over. Like I said, I got scenes I'm coming up this week. I'm just like, I just popped in the movie and I'm like, I got to see this scene. That's what I do. But you don't lay back and I can't say I've never fallen asleep in my theater. I have. When I'm that tired, I'll fall asleep watching an old movie or something, but I don't lay down.
See, I got to put my feet up. That's my thing. I got to put my feet up. And with the sectional that we have, I don't know if you remember it, but if the sectional we have down there right now,
I remember.
If I'm sitting squared up straight onto the TV,
yep,
I don't have anything to put my feet up on because the little like chaise sticker out part of the sectional is just off to my left. So I constantly sit tilted to the left so that I can put my feet up sideways on the chaise while my head is still directly in line with the screen. And so that's my biggest thing is I can't wait to get chairs so that I can just sit straight, look straight, and get my feet put up.
Did you order them yet?
Yeah.
Do they have the neck adjustment?
Yes.
Okay, good. I was going to say.
The power headrest.
Yes. That's the one thing that I wish they didn't have them when I went and got mine. And I got my chairs 20 years ago. So my theater
went up well.
Yeah, they are. They really are. I'm They're microfiber. I didn't want leather. Leather reflects sound. I wanted microfiber, a little bit more absorption. They're decent shoulder height so that I could still hear behind me. But they're high enough that if you sit, like, you can put your head back a little bit. They fully recline out. They're not power. I didn't want power. Power breaks. I figured I'd have them. I'll get power next time. I got mine the same way you got yours. My wife, I'd had my theater for a year. So when we moved into this house, literally 2 days later, I had mapped out the theater. I put the thing on the wall. The tape is still there on the foundation. And a month later, we had the theater. So we'd been in the house a month, and I'd already built it, in it, living it, loving it. Okay. But when we moved in, we ordered all new furniture for our living room because we came from an apartment. So we took the couch and the love seat, put that in the theater. So the theater started with a couch and a love seat in the front row. And then my wife one day was just like your wife. She's like, "We need theater seats in here." And I was like, "Okay." And I was like, "That we have Jordan's furniture out here, and they happen to have a theater room. They had IMAX theater in the building. It's going to Jordan's furniture is like going to an amusement park. It's out here. It's like you could put kids in these special cars and drive around. They have all the big, huge rooms. It's a huge, huge building, huge warehouse type building. But it's like people used to just go there for fun. They serve you popcorn. They just give out popcorn. It's an experience. It really is. And they had this theater room attached to their IMAX theater. And it was like this giant room of all these theater chairs set up, like rows of four sets of four theater chairs that you could test out, powered, unpowered, leather, microfiber, different styles. So we're there, my wife and my two kids, and my kids at the time were little, and we were there for fun, and I'm like, we're shopping for theater chairs. We're like, we'll go there. And a saleswoman comes in and she's like, can I help you find something? And we happened to be, we'd been in there for like 10 or 15 minutes and we'd found this set of chairs and we're like, yeah, we want these. And she's like, you want to go to the movies? And I was like, no, we want these, these chairs. She goes, oh, you want to buy theater chairs? And I was like, yeah. And it was like, she's like, oh, we never get those here. We, you know, people don't want, nobody comes in here. So it was like, it was new to them. And I'm like, you got this whole great room, but nobody goes in there. Like, who's going to buy theater chairs? So that's how, but it was my wife's idea. And it was a fun event for the family. And then when they got delivered, wait till they get delivered. I bet even still, the guys delivering them, they're going to think it's a couch. And they're going to be like, what the hell is this? It's because my guys didn't know. They were like, what the hell are you doing here? And then they saw the room it was going and they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But
no, awesome. She sat down in the one in the seats. It, like I said, it's a pool store. Well, it's like a home recreation store. I think it's The Great Escape is what it's called. They've got pool supply. They got like billiard stuff. They got patio.
That's cool.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Well, she sat down in the home theater chairs they had there. And they were pretty close to exactly what I wanted. Pretty close. And she's like, all right, these are nice. These would be awesome to have. Let's get them. So I said, okay. So we start going through the process.
This is the same woman that didn't want the TV.
Yes. Same woman who didn't want the TV. That's correct. We get the sales lady over there and Erica's looking over the quality of them. And she's like, Mike, I can see staples right here.
Nope.
I was like, wait a minute, what? And I'm looking, like, sure enough, you can like see bottom line is they weren't the highest quality.
Okay.
And my wife, knowing me and knowing that like I totally have the FOMO. I have something in my mind that I want. If I don't get exactly what's in my mind, I'm not gonna be happy.
Right.
Like if I would have got the LG C1 OLED instead of the Sony A80J OLED, I would be kicking myself right now. Even though they're pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
I had my heart set on the Sony.
Yeah.
So my wife, being the wonderful woman she is, she's like, well, let's just get exactly what you want. What is it that you exactly want? So I went on.
So I don't have to listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't have to, exactly. I don't want to, next year, I don't want to hear you saying, we need to upgrade our chairs.
Chairs. Yeah.
So
she, my wife has told me I need to upgrade mine.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but I'm telling her no. I was like, because one, I know I want a new theater at some point, like relatively, when I say relatively soon, I mean in chair life. Right. So like I don't feel right. I mean, I'd love to jump on the opportunity because she's saying, let's get new chairs. But right. Why? Because I know like within a year, 2 years, even 3 years, I'm going to be getting different. Like, I don't know what my layout's going to be in the new room. I could be four sure. wide. I could be three wide. I could be two wide. I don't know. So I don't want to pigeonhole myself by picking a nice chair, or even worse. She's like, well, what if we just got one row in here for this and then we could use that? And I'm like, yeah, but what if I can't get that model again? Now I'm really going to be pissed because I want the model to match.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I would rather save and I would just rather wait. I'm like, because there's nothing wrong with my chairs. I mean, they're older. Yeah. They're a little bit more broken in than I'd like. I'd like them a little firmer, but they're still, I sit in them for hours at a time and they're fine.
Yeah.
So I'm the one talking her down, so. I think that's what your wife's going for, though. It's like, you know, like, get what you want so that, because these aren't an easy thing to swap out after the fact either.
Oh, sure.
Know? Selling right. them, getting them there when somebody buys them. You got to have somebody in your area with a truck that wants theater chairs. Like, it's not an easy, not an easy swap.
Right. Yeah. But back to the original question that got us on the home theater chair.
I forget what it was.
You asked if my wife is going to be down in the basement watching the TV more.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And we went and saw Maverick together.
Oh, yeah.
Beginning in June. We saw Love and Thunder together this past weekend. And now she's talking about, especially when we get the new chairs, how she wants to do a Top Gun marathon and watch Top Gun 1. And then when Maverick comes out, we'll put Maverick in right after that. She's never seen any of the Thors, and she loved Love and Thunder. So now when the chairs come, she wants to go down and watch Ragnarok with me.
Oh, my God. So she saw Love and Thunder, but she hasn't seen at least the first two that with Natalie Portman in them?
No, she saw the trailer where Zeus flicked Thor's clothes away and got all excited.
So Zeus flicks some clothes, and you're getting new theater chairs. I like it. Oh. Oh, that's good. I think we should get some chairs. Oh, man. That is nice. That's a setup.
Yeah. I'm a lucky guy.
I know what poster you're getting next for your room, too.
Oh, yeah. There you go. The Love and... Yes. That's a great... Yeah, actually, I never thought of
these
that.
Are the Love and Thunder chairs? Read into that what you will. The kids are like, I don't get it. It's just a movie.
Oh, man.
Wow. I was worried about getting your name right. Now I got to not stop calling you Love and Thunder. This is Mike Love and Thunder Schramm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Good. Nice. You can't get a better endorsement for the movie than that. This movie was so good, I'm getting new chairs. Wow. Yeah. So she'll really, I think she'll like that. She'll love the storyline too. What do marathoning through that? I mean, I actually Dark World, if I rank the Thor movies, I personally go one, Ragnarok, then Love and Thunder, and then Dark World. And I like them all.
Oh, you got Ragnarok ahead of Love and Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like Ragnarok was the story was a little bit more cohesive. I felt like Love and Thunder's story will be, and John and I will probably talk about it on Friday too. I thought the story was a little jumpy, and the comedy I didn't feel was as natural in Love and Thunder as it was in Ragnarok. You know what I mean? Felt a little bit more forced.
Okay.
That's all.
Yes.
It's a close call. I felt like it was really, I really enjoyed both. I really can't wait to see it again in the theater. But it wasn't, I felt like some of the humor was a little bit more forced. And Ragnarok just felt so natural and fun. Like they literally were, it felt like they just kept filming and then they put like outtakes into the movie that, and you don't even know those are outtakes. Whereas I see what people are saying, like Love and Thunder feels like, okay, and action. And they're like, hey, we got like, you, they really felt like they were trying to act out these, some of these lines.
Yes, and I can see that. Absolutely.
That's, you see what I mean? So like if I have to rank the two, that's how I do it. But I think they're very close. I think, I mean, they're almost practically the same movie, the same director. Yeah. So very colorful, very entertaining.
Heard or read somewhere that Ragnarok is like almost entirely improvised.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised. I know Chris Hemsworth had a blast doing it.
Yeah.
And he has said that if he had to keep doing, what was his name? The director, Kenneth Branagh did the first one.
Yeah.
So he did the first one, but he's got a very, which I think is fantastic. Okay. Because what I love about the first one is it is that kind of Shakespearean type story. And that's what Kenneth Branagh is really known for. I think he did Hamlet. He's done other, like, more classical type director doing Shakespeare type stuff. Chris Hemsworth's like, if all the Thors were like that, he goes, I wouldn't be doing them. I wouldn't keep going. Yeah. But it was because they evolved into the humor that he was like, I love this. So that's why he signed on for three more. I mean, this is the first time we got a four, right? We've got three everybody. Yeah. We got three Iron Men, three, which got Captain America's, we've got, we're getting a third Guardians, we're getting, you know, this is the first time we've had four, and he's, I'm pretty sure he signed on for three more movies.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he's, now, I don't know, like my son and I were saying, I don't know if he's signed on for three Thor movies or three more MCU movies, but...
Oh, okay.
Like, you see at the end, it says Thor will return, because they don't tell you where, but he's gonna come back, and... You know, so he's signed on, and I mean, I think it helps with the continuity of the MCU too, and especially where the story is going in the MCU now. It's, I think Thor is going to play a big part in that, cosmically. But yeah, I just, he wouldn't have signed on if it hadn't gone to that type of humor. And but I think what I was saying before is like, I think what makes it so funny is that you had that seriousness at the beginning. You have that dichotomy between that one character, how he's evolved, and he's having a good time now. He's more mature. He's smarter. He's treating the universe correctly. Like, whereas before he just wanted to, you know, conquer all, you know, he's just a young, ignorant kid, you know, and now he's more mature, but he's still having a good time. So, I like the story. I like where it's going. I think your wife will really enjoy that. Maybe you'll get some footrests to go with it. When are the chairs coming in?
Don't know. They gave me a window of the 14th through the 21st.
Really? So this month?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's
this
quick.
What is today? Yeah, Thursday through Thursday.
So were
obviously in stock. So,
yeah.
As soon as they can get them.
Mine took like 6 to 8 weeks, I think, when I ordered mine. And I was like,
really?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, this was back in 2002.
Oh, okay.
It was like, and I'm like, they had, it's not like a lot of people had them and they don't have,
you know, theater chair. What do we got?
I can't even believe we have this room. Never mind, somebody's in it. But yeah, it's, yeah. So. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, I'd be wicked excited. When did you order them? Like last week or just this weekend?
Saturday night. That's a whole other story, DJ.
Oh, is it a good story?
Yeah, I don't think we need to share it with the listeners, but yeah, it's a good one.
Good for you. That's a fun story. Nice.
Yeah. I think you guys can fill in the blanks.
There you go. All righty then. All right, let's get to some other scenes. What's the latest scene? What's the latest movie you've thrown in just because you're like, I got to see that you've forgotten about and wanted to see the difference?
I'm trying to, because Edge of Tomorrow came out
last week,
pop that in. That one for me was more about audio, but the video on that was really good. There weren't any.
Did you get the 4K disc?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it looked fantastic. It looks great.
Yeah.
But there wasn't anything that really, I was like, oh man, you know what I mean? Like,
no,
it was good.
It's nice, but I noticed that as well. Like the 4K, there's nothing bad about it. So you can't say like, oh, they did this wrong or they did that wrong with it. So even all the reviews on it are like, it's a really good 4K disc for picture. Right. But the movie doesn't lend itself to show you a lot in HDR.
Right.
And even the way it was shot, I felt like it has some, it's like shot almost like in a high contrast, which is funny. High contrast is the opposite of like HDR. It really is. And it's like, so like when you shoot something in high contrast, it means your brights are really bright right next to your really dark. Right. So like, think of a movie like Sin City. Right. And it's a kind of, and what happens is like, if you turn your contrast, just do it on your television, turn your contrast up, all the brighter scenes, all that gradation comes out. Right. So you turn up and now like your bright brights are really bright and your dark darks are really dark and almost like everything, all that nice gray in the middle goes away. And that's what HDR is all about. Right. And I felt like watching Edge of Tomorrow, it's shot in a higher like 300 shot in a high contrast. And it's hard to, you know, really take advantage of HDR if you're just going from black to a white line. It's like, there's not really a lot there. And, even in, 300, I thought like that one scene that I looked at, is a close up when they were in, I recommend you check this out. If you have 300 and 4K is just before Gerard Butler goes off to fight, and they're in the bedroom and the master bedroom or whatever, and he's talking to her, and there's a close up of his face, and you could see
I remember that
the detail in his face and in his eye, and then the shadows behind his ear. There were so many more gradations there that I didn't get before. That it just, now I know they shoot this in high contrast, but this one particular scene, because it is so like, I think it is in color, but it's kind of, you know, mute, the color is muted, but my memory of it feels like it's black and white. But just check out all those gradations in his face and in his eyes, the highlights in his eyes too, because that's what's fun when they get close-ups. You'll notice on your television now, it's like eyes are supposed to be, they're wet, right? So they should be, that's why you get that sparkle. And when you do when you zoom in on that stuff with your HDI, it's gonna feel like you can reach into that pupil, and it's so good because you're gonna get those bright twinkles, those bright highlights. Oh, it's so good, so good.
I know exactly the scene you're thinking of. I'm probably right after we get done talking, I'm probably gonna head down there and pop it in.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, Blade Runner 2049.
Oh God, yeah. The twinkles, the lights, the bright.
Yeah, I mean, I put it in, and every scene that came after the scene before, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Oh, my God, this is amazing. Oh, my God, this is amazing. Like, it just continued. I couldn't. Oh, my gosh, that movie was fantastic.
Yeah, that there's so much bright. The neon, all the little bright light. It really is. That's one that my Jim, my projector guy, he uses as a demo. Like once he calibrates the television, he'll put that one in and he'll pop to some scenes on that. The opening scene of Star Trek what is it, Into the Darkness? Is that the newest Star Trek? The second Star Trek movie.
I haven't checked it out.
Oh. Oh, wait till you like no. So Jim would pop that one in. It's just the opening scene when they're trying to, you know, the Enterprise is under the water. They're running away from Kirk's running away from the natives, and it's everything's red, but then there's yellow, and the natives I think are all like white, like in chalk. And they're running and all the colors, it's amazing. But then when I think when they pull Spock out or somebody, but the line coming off of, I believe is it the Enterprise or another ship, but the blue lights on the line that are coming down on your screen, watch how those pop. You're going to be like amazed. They're like these little blue lights, but the white light in between in the center of it with the blue hue around it. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Really? When
you see it. It is amazing. And the opening scene is just amazing anyways, when the volcano goes and you look inside. Anytime you see any black smoke and stuff now, you're going to see gradations of gray in the smoke, and it's going to feel like 3D. It's so much fun.
Okay. Is that a 4K disc?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Star Trek one?
Star Trek. Star Trek Into the Darkness. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a 4K disc. So good.
I don't have the 4K. I've got the Blu-ray. I'm going to pop it in and see.
Oh, it'll probably still look good. But when you go to the 4K, you'll be like, those lights really just it. Yeah, that's like I said, Jim puts that on. He's like, oh, my God. Like when he did my television, he's like, look at those lights. That's amazing.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh. I talked about that one a little bit. That
makes it come to life. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. The lightning, that's the one I told you to check out when they go after Electro at the high tension wires.
No.
Into the Spider-Verse. No Way Home. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That almost looks 3D. I'm getting so excited about it. I wanted that on 3D because it looks so good in 3D, because some of that movie, the way it was shot and drawn, it actually looks like it's like you're watching 3D without the glasses. You know what I mean? Like some of it. But when you have that really nice HDR, it's like it gives you it. It's not as confusing. It gives you that nicer separation. Looks almost 3D. Whereas when you do watch it in 3D, it is amazing. But some of those scenes where there's like stuff going on inside the actual panels, looks like a comic book panel. The depth that you get there looks so much nicer. Uh-huh. But the way that movie is like the way it, because it is, it's quote unquote drawn, I know digitally, but it's the, they can just set all the colors to perfection and their highlights. And it's a really, really good one. That's another one.
But as long as you brought it up, the No Way Home scene with Electro.
Yeah.
Because
that night sky.
In particular, when Peter is walking around, he's talking to MJ and his friend. I can't think of his name.
Ned.
He's got him duct taped to his chest as he's walking through
The detail of that suit.
Yes.
It's amazing.
And there's, I'm assuming it was Electro. Maybe it was Sandman. Somebody runs through the trees behind Peter.
Yeah.
And Peter reacts to it. I've always noticed Peter react to it. I never saw the shadow run between the trees before.
Right. And, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I saw it between the, behind the trees. Peter, turn around. Yeah, that was... I actually think Erica was with me for that one. I think she was downstairs. She said, "What? Have you not seen that before?" I was like, "No, I've never seen that before. That was awesome." Right.
Yeah. That's the other thing you're going to start to notice, or at least I have, is the night sky is going to look a lot better in movies, because you're going to get, it's not just what your head tells you. The night sky is the black sky. going to have stars in it. Right. It's got white dots, black with white dots. And it's not. It's a gradation of blues. And then you get your white dots on that. And when you see it on your screen, you're like, oh, wow, look how deep that blue gets, how dark that blue gets there. But it looks so nice. It's so.
Yeah.
The Lord of the Rings trilogy, there's a lot of night skies in there that just are looks so good, especially where, like, with the trees in the foreground, instead of just being shadow, like they're a silhouette of a tree, which is black against a lesser black sky. Now you have
yeah.
that bluer sky, a really dark blue sky and really dark green trees. And you get all that nice gradation yeah. in the middle. And and like I said, all of that has to do with being able to put that gradation out and have that color show through. Whereas yeah. before, it was just without that HDR, you're just getting like, okay, that's just a darker blue. It's not as vibrant. So it's just, you're getting, okay, we'll just get a dark blue. And then it's still there.
Yeah.
All the information's still there. You're just, now it's just really popping and giving you that mm-hmm. more lifelike, which in turn makes you feel more 3D, I think.
Absolutely. I can't remember what movie it was, but there was a scene where the stars were sparkling. It was a night sky. The stars mm-hmm. were sparkling. And they sparkled so bright that I thought my HDMI cable was, like, I thought I was getting, like, sparkles on the TV. Like, the HDMI cable wasn't working anymore. And I'm like, oh, no, that's just the stars popping. Like, that's just the contrast of the dark and the light. And supposed to be like that. Man, that's so cool. I wish I remember what movie that was. I can't recall it. But
are you seeing stuff, like, on your screen? Like, you're watching it and going, oh, like, it makes you squint. Like bright scenes will, you're like, ooh, like your eyes will be like, oh my God, that's so bright, but it's appropriate. It's not like it's a scene that you're like, oh, I got to dial down the screen. It's like, not the whole screen is white, but it'll be a darker scene. And then all of a sudden a bright light. And I'm thinking of one, my son actually said, he's like, whoa, is that bright? Like, you really feel like you want to put your hand up and block the light in the top left corner of the screen because it's coming off so bright. And I don't want to say laugh, but people saying like, oh, well, projector just can't get bright enough. It can, it needs to be mapped correctly, but other things can get brighter, but projectors aren't meant to be in a lit room. And that's where I will agree. They can't get bright enough to be in a lit room. Cause if you want to have the same contrast, you have to go brighter. Projectors can't do that. But in a completely isolated room, a projector can get very bright enough to even make you squint your eyes. Yeah. And it's so much fun. Like, it's a dark screen. And what happens is they set that up on purpose. Cause it's when they go to a dark scene, your pupils open up, right? And now all of a sudden they hit you with that bright light. Now your pupils are looking, trying to look in the dark, just like if you were in a dark room, which you are.
Sure.
And now all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, that's so bright. It's like, and that, they're playing with you. They're playing with your irises. They're like, oh, wow, that was too bright. And, you know, that's how it works. And it's, who was that? I was just talking to somebody the other day about it, on how, like, take a white piece. Oh, it was tattoos. My son was showing me some tattoos. Okay. And somebody had this really nice tattoo of, I think it was a bear with fangs or something like that. But you see the sketch of it first, and now you see the finished product, and it looked almost 3D on the arm. And I said to my son, I go, that's an example of how you manipulate light. Think of a piece of paper. An 8x10 piece of white paper, right? How do I make that dot make you squint your eyes on that piece of paper? That piece of paper, I cannot make that white any brighter. You cannot make that screen in your room. All right. Say, now that's why I love the idea of a projector. That screen in your room can't get any whiter than white when it's all the light on it. That's it. That's all it is, right? how do I make that bright seam seem even brighter than what it already is, than that white? And it, and what that is everything around it. How do I change that contrast around it? And it's going to make that white even appear brighter. And that's why I went to like an 8x10 piece of paper. It's like, if you've seen somebody do a piece of art, you can't make something whiter than a white piece of paper.
But yeah.
What you do is you make everything around it darker, and the way you make it darker, it creates that contrast, and your eye goes, you'll like look at it and go, oh my God, that's really bright right there. But it's still the same white piece of paper. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So,
oh yeah.
It's all on how they manipulate that stuff. And that's, yeah. Glad you're having so much fun with it.
Oh yeah. Going with an OLED, I thought that was going to be one of the compromises I would have, because they always say, excuse me, how LED TVs can get so bright, but they can't get perfect black. And right. OLEDs can have perfect black, but they don't get as bright.
Right.
So and between the two, I would take a perfect black. That was my opinion on it.
Mm.
This thing, it's plenty, like you said, exactly, like you said, it gets plenty bright enough that if there's an explosion or something like that, I'm shielding my eyes. I don't feel like it's lacking at all in the brightness, at all.
No, and but see, that's the difference, though. It's like, people mix up a lot of information that it's all correct information, right? It's like saying, which is a better tool, a hammer or a saw? Well, what are you going to do? If you're going to cut something, you're going to be there a while with a hammer. But if you want to bang a nail in, you're going to be there a while with a saw, right? So,
correct.
If you're in a well-lit room, and that's always going to be well-lit, then don't go with the OLED, because your black levels are already compromised, right? Mm-hmm. So how do I, in a well-lit room, how do I get that nice contrast? How do I get that effect in a well-lit room? Well, picture a scale, like it's a sliding. I know you could see me in my hands, but it's like, so the floor is zero for black, right? But then say a thousand is the brightest bright. Just we'll put a number on it, right? OLED mm-hmm. can go to like zero for black, but then both the OLED and the LCD can only go 800 points.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Right.
Well, I can go now the LCD. All right, we're going to take that to 1,000, but its bottom black is at 200, but it's in a well-lit room. I'm never going to see perfect black anyways in that room. But now all that contrast in between, all those details in that 800 are there in both situations. So you're getting to experience both things. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the difference. So it's like, in a room that's going to be dedicated and it's going to have complete control of the light, take advantage of the OLED, because you're probably going to, I mean, that's that black level. That's, you're going to be able to see everything in between.
Yeah.
And that's the idea. It's like, you wouldn't be happy in a darkened room with the other one, because all of a sudden you're like, I can see my black lines here. I can see this. And that's why, like in my situation, in my room with people with projectors, it's really nice to bottom up to mask off those black boxes, because now I'm not seeing that. And everything I am seeing on my screen, I feel like that's the black level I should be seeing. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's how, like, take the Batman, for instance, those aren't the blackest blacks in that movie. And you have an OLED, right? But those darker scenes, like Jeff was saying from HD Report, when we were talking, and he was like, it's more like a chocolate, right? It's a warmer black. It's not a dead on black. Like he said, like you see behind me, those black levels, it's a completely different black level, but that's the way it was shot. That's what he was going for. It's a warmer black. And you knew that. And, but with the projector, if you can mask off those black bars, it gives you that more sense of immersion, because you can't get to dead on black like you can with an OLED. But if everything around it is, and you have, you know, nice tone mapping, you're going to see everything that you're seeing. And it's like, it's just at a different level, but because it's so big, you're like, oh, and the bright scenes, you're like, I actually feel like That's why I want to get an OLED in the house. I've experienced the OLEDs. I want to get one in the house and be able to run back and forth and maybe even prop yeah. up in the room and go back and forth. But I want to see it a little bit more quicker than going to another place and then coming here. But I know I'm seeing everything on my screen now.
Speaking of you wanting to get an OLED, I know you're talking about the 55-inch.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you noticed or not, and I haven't been checking prices. I don't know if this is a good price or not, but Amazon's got it on sale right now for $998.
Yes, I saw that. Best Buy had it first. I almost pulled the trigger on it. I'm waiting. Tomorrow's my birthday, so I don't know what the family spent money on.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks. Actually, as this podcast comes out, as a matter of fact.
There you go.
So, you know, like when it's around that time of year, you don't start buying stuff because I don't know what it's not. I don't think they got me an OLED, but I don't know what they did spend money on. So I don't want to be right. like, oh, and by the way, Dad, this money went onto the credit card for your gift. Okay. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for after that because I have some purchases myself I want to make, other things I'm working on. And I'm like, So I'm waiting, see what happens. So maybe on Wednesday you'll hear me go, I got an OLED. But yeah, the 55 went down to just under $1,000. So
yeah,
I'm waiting. Almost pulled the trigger, but yes, yeah, keeping an eye on it. Very excited.
Yeah. You mentioned just as we started how I had the one technical difficulty.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
The whole scenario was I would be watching anything streaming on my Apple TV. Normally, I'm probably just watching regular TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, after watching regular TV, I think, nah, I want to put in a Blu-ray or a DVD or 4K. I want to really see what I can do with this thing.
Yeah.
And this was my normal routine. I would turn the regular TV on. I'd watch, you know, whatever was on TV. And like, nope, it's movie time. And I'd get up and I'd switch the input on the receiver. I turn the Blu-ray player on. I have all the bing, bang, boom. Decide what I want to watch. Put the disc in. Start watching it. And about 12 minutes into my movie, TV would shut off. Man, what is happening? It's no big deal. Grab the remote, press power, and back up and run it. It's fine. But this is consistent.
So when the TV shut off, everything else kept playing, like the DVD kept playing, everything kept playing. Yeah. Oh, wow.
I could hear my movie just fine.
Yeah. Just lost an image.
Yep.
Sitting in the dark.
Yep.
Or Love and Thunder sitting in the dark. I'm not letting you live that one down.
No, that's all right. That's okay. So I'm thinking maybe it's the HDMI cables. So I swap those out. Still nothing. It happens again. And so I finally threw it out to you and Steve George. I threw it out to Rob. Ralph Potts. I threw it out to Ralph Potts. Todd Anderson, I threw it out to.
Yeah.
And asked you guys to help me figure this thing out. And turns out it was the HDMI CEC thing from my Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I would turn the Apple TV on and I switched over, I guess for whatever reason, the Harmony remote that I have didn't turn off the Apple TV or missed the signal or whatever.
Right.
But the Apple TV went dormant or whatever you want to call it. And it was set to turn off after 15 minutes of inactivity. So, you know, I'd switch over. I would get up. I'd find my movie, whatever I want to watch. I'd pop it in. And that
takes you about 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Start the movie. 12 minutes later, the Apple TV turns off. And because of the HDMI CEC, it turns my TV off.
Yeah.
So, any listeners out there having trouble. And then the next week, Tom and Rob, I don't know if you caught it. They talked about it on their next podcast.
Yep.
And I didn't realize this was such a thing. Tom was just, oh my God, HDMI CE sucks. CE sucks.
Yeah. The idea of it is okay, but
right. it's a great idea.
It's so quirky. And I think like a lot of things, like for home theater people where we have, we've already done the work. We have everything set up the way we don't need CEC, right? But the masses be like, hey, we'll plug everything together and it all, one goes on, they all go on, one goes off, they all go off. Oh, thank you. That's great. Most people would like that. We're popping in and out of things. We've run things ourselves. We don't need that, you know?
Right.
Kind of like IMAX Enhanced. We don't need, home theater people don't need IMAX Enhanced. It's like, meaning the full version of it, like having your receiver have IMAX, having your display have IMAX Enhanced. Like, if you're going to get your television calibrated, you're not using the IMAX Enhanced. If you're going to have your room calibrated by you, you don't need the IMAX Enhanced. You're going to do all that on your own anyways. That's for the masses, so they're getting exactly what they want, right?
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's all it is. But yeah, when you put that out, it's like, I knew Rob's awesome with that stuff. I mean, the guy's a friggin' home theater savant. I'm just so glad, like, he just we're lucky that he focuses on home theater. It's lucky to have a guy like that that can just be like, because he reads the manuals for the show and then he actually retains them.
No.
I get stuff. The way my mind works, I don't even open the manual when I first get stuff. I just turn it on, start plugging away, and be like, what works? How do I get it to work? Right. That was my route to help you, was to be like, all right, we gotta shut everything down and work our way through, like disconnect stuff and see how things work. And eventually you would have gotten there, just would have taken a lot longer to figure out that it's the Apple TV doing this. And but that's how I've always done stuff, is just eliminate variables till you get to where the one variable that's making it happen. So, but Rob just, I knew it too. I think I even tweeted it. I was like, Rob's plugging away at this right now. So he would have an answer.
No, the Apple TV was not even on my radar, because as far as I was concerned, that was not even a link in the chain anymore. Like, I'm not using it.
Right.
I figured it was either the TV, the Blu-ray player, or the receiver.
Yeah.
That wasn't even on the radar, and that was the problem.
Yep.
So,
hey, well, that's part of the fun.
And that's the thing. Like, you know, it's not a big issue. The first time it happened, I'm like, oh crap, am I going to have to return this TV? Like, what is going, you know?
Yeah.
No, it's stupid CEC thing. Like, it's.
Yeah.
And now I know. So when it happens to somebody else, I'm like, hey, have you checked this?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's fine. It's fine.
12-minute intermission. That's okay.
Right.
I love that. It's like everything kept going, but you just lost the screen. It's like you can still hear it. Sounds good.
Yep.
Wow. I guess sound is more important. They just took away the picture. Look at that.
There you go.
All right. Let's wrap up with what's another good scene? Either one you haven't seen or want to see on the OLED.
Oh, gosh. I'm constantly scouring, trying to find, like, I heard Chaos. Am I getting this right? Chaos Walking? That the Tom.
Chaos Walking?
Is that what it's called? It's got Spider-Man in it. What's his name? It's got Spider-Man and Rey in it. Rey from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. All right. I don't know if that's what it's called, though. I know the one you're talking about, but yeah.
I heard that's got like a real sharp 4K picture, like supposed to be like super clean.
Okay.
I've never seen it, but I'm interested in checking that out now on the TV. I haven't popped Avatar in because it's just regular Blu-ray, but I kind of thought maybe that might.
That'll be nice. I mean, that'll be nice. I would go for some Blu-ray. I would go for some 4K stuff. Do you have a lot of 4Ks?
Yes.
Discs?
Yeah.
Do you have Monster Hunter?
Yep.
Okay.
The cave. I got that for the sound.
The cave scene. That's an amazing one. Her eyes are amazing in that one in 4K. HDR. But there's you know, the cave scenes that I'm talking about when they end up in the caves right after the opening chase sequence, they literally run into the caves to hide and then get attacked in there.
yeah,
go in there. Those okay. are some amazing HDR because of those that darkness.
Yeah,
there's that. That's a good one.
What about like the new Resident Evil?
I haven't seen that one.
Okay,
I haven't seen the new.
I know the audio on it is fantastic. Like that's, yes, it's demo worthy. Fantastic.
Yeah. I figured but that I, one I, would be, but I haven't seen that one in it, yeah with the HDR yet.
Okay.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Really good. Blu-ray. I got to upgrade that one too.
Okay.
I heard the black and white version is pretty cool.
It is. I prefer the what you call it? Logan. The Logan in black and white.
Oh, okay.
That one to me, that's the gold standard to me. I've had the debate, but that's the gold standard to me because I'm pretty sure he shot that with black and white in mind and that all the scenes are lit appropriately there for black and white because you light things differently for black and white to create a different highlights and different stuff. And it's like when you watch Logan in black and white, you actually feel like you're robbing yourself by watching it in color.
Because
remember I said earlier that like we depend on our sight too much. And so we depend on color too much and you miss so many nice, there's some gorgeous details in that because now you've taken all of that away. Like, ooh, pretty colors. And you're like, well, just say like everybody has a favorite color, right? So things show up on the screen and you're going to be like, ooh, something blue over there. But now you're missing, but if you made everything the same color, like black and white, now you're just looking at the gradations, you're looking at the details and the textures and stuff, and you're not distracted by the color of it all. And it's, it really, that to me is, I didn't feel that way as much on Fury Road. I just didn't. I felt like Logan was really just that one. I don't even like to see it in color. I watched it in color, watched it in the black and white, and then went back and watched it in color. And I was like, I feel like I'm losing something. I actually felt in reverse. Like you feel like you'd think it would be the other way around, but I actually felt like I was losing some texture and detail by going to color. And I really just think it's because you're distracted because it's like, ooh, pretty colors.
Now, are they on the same disc? Both versions on the same disc? Or are you getting them separately?
No. Nope, they come. The Logan one came as a set, though. I believe I bought mine as a set. I believe I don't think I had to buy it separately.
I knew the Mad Max was separate.
Yep,
right.
They're two different discs. I'm pretty sure Logan. It all came together.
The
set that I bought, anyways.
I wonder if I bought. I don't know. It's been so long. I got to check that out.
Yeah, Logan is that one's really really good. Trying to think of some other. I'll have another one for you, especially a scene on Friday. I can't wait to talk about with John. So that's coming out on Friday. Another movie, a movie I've already reviewed, but I was just watching it again the other day, and I saw this one particular scene, and I knew I was going to be talking to you too. And I saw it, and talking to you about an OLED, and I'm like this one scene, just something that popped, and I was like, holy crap, that is just beautiful. And wait. Wait till you see it too, because when I tell you about it, it's the most obscure thing that you're gonna be like, why the hell is he looking at that? But it's like it really did, and it gets into something we already talked about today too. So
okay,
but I really, 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 and it has a good sound effect to it. The scene has a nice sound that I'm gonna talk about as well. So how's that for a professional teaser?
Hey, I'll be listening.
Trying to think of some other great HDR scenes because there are so many. There's so many different, like you said, you're going to start to notice it too. And I mean, no bigger testament than like, you know, you're at the movies going, I can't wait to see this at home. I can't wait to,
right.
It's like, it looks so much better in my home than it does here. And it's like, you know,
yeah,
theaters can't do what we can do in our homes. You know, it's
crazy.
So good.
Yeah.
It's like, what else? What's the, did you see Elvis yet?
I have not. No.
Ooh, That's going to be another one.
I heard
for
you
HDR.
Talking about it all the time, though.
It's great. For
HDR, it's going to be, you think it'll be?
I do. I mean, just think of Elvis. He's larger than life,
that's
right?
A good point.
And
yeah.
Sparkly and all of that. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, the sound is going to be amazing too, but I'm really excited for that one for the HDR. I'm like, think of, I'm thinking of the scene, like when he's wearing the all black leather in one scene, and I'm just thinking of that black leather and good. If it's high quality 4K HDR, I'm like, we're just, because there's a lot of bright lights. I mean, he's in Vegas, you know, you got right. Vegas going, anything shot in Vegas is going to be like, holy, you know,
absolutely.
I'm really excited for that one. Top Gun, I'm not as excited for the HDR on that. I'm excited for the movie. Yeah. I'm excited for the surround right. sound. I think right. that's going to be amazing. But a lot of those bright movies, not as, you know, maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. I don't know. But my memory of it, I don't remember thinking, can't wait to see this in HDR.
Right.
Love and Thunder.
Oh, hey.
HDR. Yeah.
Yeah. How about Afterlife? Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Oh, yeah. Did you see it? Did you watch
it? I got it. I haven't popped it on yet.
Just the opening scene, the color, the dark, it's night, the stuff flying around.
Yeah. And,
like the ghosts that, things pop. Colors, like, just so good. It's, really good. You've seen the movie, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the end scene, too.
Okay.
3D. It's, and if you know, spoiler free, it's like that character that you don't mm-hmm. expect to be there.
Yeah.
It's 3D. Like, so the first time I saw it, you watch that scene and it's a tearjerker, right?
Yo, sure.
And you're like, my wife was choked up and we're like sitting there and she's like crying. And she's like, I get choked up at a puppy commercial. And I'll be like, yeah, I'm a grown man. Right now that scene yep. every time since I'm like holding it back now, just thinking of the scene. Right. I'm like, oh, don't. But when I first saw it, my wife's like, how are you not crying? And I'm like, it looks amazing. I was so blown away by the picture quality that I was just like, how did they do that? And how? Oh, and then this and that. I was just so blown away by the tech of it. I really didn't get into, I got into it and I was like, this is a great movie. This is a great scene. But I was just like, this looks so amazing. Like, every time I've seen it since, I've been like, oh, I know. I see what you're talking about. But it's the whole movie though. Same thing. Another effect, this always pops into my head because it's such an older movie too. Predator. Do you have that in 4K?
I don't have that in 4K.
It's not what you would call a demo disc, but what I really liked about it was it had really good black levels, and the 4K. Oh, Morbius. Duh. I don't know if
you that was that. That was yeah.
But what they do in Predator, and I'm sure I know what happens in other movies, but what you're going to notice even more now is that atmospheric, depth. Okay. So as things get further away, the atmosphere plays into the gradation of black, right?
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying? So like, there are scenes in the jungle where there's smoke or fog or the mist or the humidity, and the further people are away, the more muted they are. And it feels like it's bad HDR, but then a character comes closer and you're like, the black levels are dead on. And it's just, it really is nice. It's like, I just love those scenes. And it's like, looking at the jungle, I don't know the timestamp in my head, but I have this one particular scene where the ferns in the foreground are like these nice, gorgeous, bright green with nice shadows. But then the jungle just keeps, you know, going on and everything gets grayer and not grayer, but you know what I mean? Like the humidity right. kind of like washes it out a little bit. So you get that atmospheric 3D and it just, it looks so good. And you'll start to see more and more of that, like fogs and smokes and like the one, that's what made me think of it. Morbius is when Ralph and I were talking about that scene through the window, and you think that it's not very good, you know, black levels, not very good HDR, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, something just moved, like a light reflected on that. You're looking through it, you don't even know it right away, but you're looking through a window, and then they go in through the window, and now your black levels get to where they should be, and you're like, oh, those are those little gradations that are just like, they're just so much fun, and it's like, I honestly think there's just so much to take in that even though, like, you're watching all these movies again and you're going to be, you're so excited about it and be like, oh, I'll try this movie and this movie, you could come back to that movie later and you're going to see stuff that you didn't see before, you know, because it's just, there's so much on the screen and, you know, I know the story. So now I'm going to look to the top left corner. Oh, I didn't know that was up there. You know, it's awesome.
When you were talking about the atmosphere in Predator, it made me think of the spice in Dune.
Yes. Yes. Oh, so that, you got Dune.
Yeah.
That's and what I always
never
go
noticed.
To.
People always talked about the spice in the air.
Yeah.
And with my old TV, I was like, okay, I'll take your word for it.
Sounded great though for you.
Yeah. So yeah, that was another good one.
Yeah, you see it twinkling. Right. You see it, like, I'll bet you saw it on your old TV, but it just looked like dust in the air. Right.
Yeah.
And okay, whatever. There's something there. I mean, there wasn't enough for you to notice, but now it's like, you're like, it's like glitter floating through the air and you're like,
honestly, I think that's, remember a little while ago, I was telling you there was a night sky and I had sparkler, the stars. I think it was the spice in Dune.
Yeah. Could be.
I think I was seeing the spice.
Yeah, and you think it's artifacts. You think it's like, oh, crap, my TV's breaking out, crapping out on me. No.
Yeah.
It's so good. Her eyes in that, the blue eyes.
Oh, they pop. Yeah.
Yeah, you get the same thing in Monster Hunter. What color? Weren't her eyes, like, they weren't blue, though. I think they were yellow, weren't they, or something like that?
Oh, gosh.
Or green. I can't remember what it was, but her eyes really pop in that, too. I really thought that one really was. But yeah, Dune. No Time to Die.
Have you got it? I don't think I've watched it on the new TV yet.
Amazing. It is like so refined that it's just the skin tones, everything on it. It's like, you know, like you look at Morbius, or we're going to watch Thor Love and Thunder, and you're just like, wow, colors, it looks so great. You know, you're all excited about it. But No Time to Die. Dune has its own, you know, palette because of the desert and everything, right? No Time to Die is just like, it's just so classic. It's just so refined. It just looks so good. Like, everything looks good there. Like I said, the skin tones, the shadows, the car, the sparkle in the car, in the metallic paints, and the scene, like, you look, the chrome, there's this, everything. It's just, it's realistic, you know. And I know James Bond isn't a realistic version of a person, but it's but this movie felt more grounded and just shot beautifully, in that it's one of the better, you know, 4K versions. It's just beautiful to watch, and you know, and gives you a different appreciation for the movie. I really like the movie too. It has good sound. You have good, you know, you have a good soundtrack to go with it, the music and everything, and the score is great. But when you, I think you'll really enjoy the picture, to the point that you might put it on and be like, all right, I'll just watch the first scene, see what DJ's talking about. And you'll be like, and you just get captivated by, like, the textures in his suits, right? And then she's sitting next to him, and then the way the camera shots, and you'll be watching on the next thing you know, you're like, well, crap, I might as well just finish it now. I've been sitting here for 2 hours. You know, and it's like, but you just get captivated by that. I know I've talked a lot about it already, but there's nothing you can pinpoint. It's not like I said, it's not like an over the top type thing, like a Morbius or a Love and Thunder. this is just more, like I said, it's just more refined and just beautiful to look at. It's a really great 4K picture. So that one.
Nice.
Yeah. Lots of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's I absolutely love it.
Well,
the only thing I don't like,
uh-oh.
Here's the thing I don't like. I don't like watching Cubs games on it.
Why? Because they lose?
Pretty much all the time. It's something with the stream. Like I said before, if you got a bad source, it makes bad sources look bad, and it makes good sources look good.
Yeah.
I've got Fubo TV. I don't know if my internet's not fast enough or it's just TV.
Yeah, I have Fubo too.
TV cameras or what? But the Cubs games just don't look all that great.
They're probably not even doing 4K, right?
No, they're not. Right?
So,
no.
I was lucky. We're lucky enough out here. The Nesson that carries the Red Sox and the Bruins, they just went to 4K with HDR.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And Fubo carries it. And
Yeah,
they were one of the first too. Fubo, that's why I got Fubo, is because they had the most 4K. Most of it at the time I got it was sports, and it was sports from Europe, but they had the capability. They were putting out the most 4K. So you figure most of anything that was going to be offered in 4K HDR, they were going to be able to carry it. So that's why I went with them. And they were fairly cheap. And I think it's a good service. But anyways, I got a notification local area like, oh, Nesson's going to be broadcasting 4K HDR soon. The next day, Fubo. Oh, you've been upgraded to 4K HDR on your Nesson service. Perfect. So
That's awesome.
It does. It looks really nice. I'm excited to see. I don't think I've seen any Bruins games in it yet because when it happened, it was during the playoffs and Nesson wasn't carrying them yet. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure if they had gotten the cameras in there or whatever.
They
revamped it. But the broadcast, especially in my theater, on the bigger screen, it makes a difference because, like you said, on a smaller screen, like a 55 inch upstairs, it's like, oh yeah, well, the Red Sox look good there anyways, you know? But when you blow it up 110 and you're like, oh wow, it's like that HDR really comes through, and it's, you know, you turn the lights out and you're like, it looks really nice. Looks really
nice,
especially for the stream. So,
yeah.
So hopefully you get that soon.
Yeah, that's the marquee network here in Chicagoland. That's what carries the Cubs. So yeah, hopefully they'll upgrade. Yeah. But no, I mean, that's the smallest of all complaints. I absolutely love this TV. This TV is amazing.
So you got the TV. You have the TV.
Yep.
We've been over enough scenes. You get the chairs are on the way. They're gonna. Your Love and Thunder chairs are gonna be there in the next few days. What's next for this room? And don't tell me you're done, because
none of
us are done. What would your next upgrade be? I always have to ask that because I'm usually on the next one before I even got this one.
I'm still looking at my front stage. I'd like to upgrade to some SVS speakers.
Oh, yes.
That's way down. At this point, that is way down the road after the money spent on the TV and the money spent on the chairs.
Yeah.
I would like to stay married. So that's.
But weren't you at the show and your wife really liked the SVS speakers?
Yes. Yes. Just but I'm pretty sure we just spent that money on chairs.
I know, but you give it a little time. Take her to the next show. You know, take her to the next show, show her those SVS speakers, you know,
like I said, I just got to get her to experience it. Once she experiences it, she's on board.
Yeah. So it's all about,
that's
about
a
the
solid
experience.
Plan, DJ.
See, so you just got to give it some time, but so you'll be all right. I mean, you've got enough to keep you busy now. Your entire catalog has just been freshened. Renewed.
Mm-hmm.
You got new chairs coming. You got to send me those pictures. I can't wait to see that.
Oh, I will. Absolutely.
How many chairs are you getting?
It's I got my two kids and my wife. So it's four of us. So I got four chairs.
Oh, okay.
It's a love seat in the middle and a chair on each side.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
So me and Erica can sit in the middle.
Oh, well, yeah.
Kids can flank us on either side. And
yeah, you know. There you go. Love and Thunder. Yeah. Making it happen.
Love and Thunder.
You got to get that poster. You got to get that poster
now. Yeah, that's a must.
You got to get that poster in the room. Love and Thunder. That is awesome. Love and Thunder. Got your chairs. I mean, and it all started with the OLED, though, to be honest. I mean,
yeah,
you go into that. Luckily, you broke her down. You got the OLED. And now the ball is just rolling. You are all set. That is awesome.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's so much fun. So much fun.
It is. This is the best. I love it.
So thank you very much. Thanks, Mike.
Hey,
Schramm. Mike, Love and Thunder, Schramm. What an experience. And that's what it's, I mean, that's the thing. That's what it's all about. It's all about the experiences. And I mean, hey, part of the experience is the pain. And you had some of that. So.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
But you learn from it.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good.
Yep. Awesome. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'll be back on Friday with John. As I said earlier, I've got a scene. I've got a few scenes to talk about. We've got some other stuff, another movie to talk about. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. Go to YouTube, even though this one isn't on YouTube. But thank you, everybody. We'll be back on Friday. Go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.